Tonight, I'm going to give a different style of message than I usually do. Usually it's pretty cut and dry, and you know what I'm trying to get across to you. Tonight, I don't know exactly the purpose of my message. I just know that I'm supposed to share it to you, and that you're an adult, hopefully, and you are a person of the Spirit, and you can figure it out on your own. Okay? Because this is called Young Adults Ministry, and I'm hoping that we're leaning more closer to the adult side than the young side. Yeah? All of us are making big decisions in our lives, right? Some of us have job changes coming up, you know? Others who aren't here have job things going on that they need prayer for. All of us have things going on, and I think as the oldest person here, I want to kind of try and hope to bring you along in something. Not just like, oh, another message that I've heard 5,000 other times. Because we've heard a lot of messages. I've heard a lot of messages. I grew up in the church, you know. Most of you guys have grown up in the church, and it's just like, oh, here's another sermon. And I don't want it to ever feel that way. I always feel like the Lord actually prompts me in something. I don't just talk for the sake of talking, okay? I don't like my voice that much. I do like my voice, but I don't like it that much. So I guess the title of this message or this conversation that I want to invite you into is called Fashioned. Fashioned. And as you know, I love the one word, you know. Your boy loves the one word. It markets better. You can make cooler designs with it. It's just the way it goes, right? So this is called Fashioned. So if you're taking notes, write that at the top of your page. If you're not taking notes, take notes. So we're supposed to be students of the word, yes? Yeah. Some of you guys will learn that. But before we get in, I want to invite you to have a little bit of grace with me, okay? Yeah? Because I want to poke you a lot. I wanna mess with the way you think, with the way you interact with your world. I want to flip things around, poke it. I want to irritate something in you tonight. That's my goal. And you can kind of feel, you know, in my voice that this is almost a little, I don't know, I'm a little nervous to talk about it, but I want to irritate something in you. Because let's have some fun. With the raise of hands, who's satisfied with the way their life is turning out so far? Yeah? So far? Good. I'm pretty pumped with the way my life's turning out, right? And I can segment my life into different portions where I'm like, oh, I'm pumped about my son, right? Pumped about my son, like 100%. I'm crushing that. I'm trying. I'm pumped with my wife, even though sometimes she drives me nuts and I drive her nuts. Right? It's a mutual thing. It doesn't go one way. But then I think about my work life. I'm like, okay, I'm doing well for myself. I'm providing for my family somewhat. And like, okay, I'm doing pretty good, right? And then I get into, okay, how are my relationships, right? I just talked about two that I'm proud of. There's others that I'm just like, how's that relationship with my dad? How's that relationship with my mom? How is that relationship with that sister, that coworker? That person that I don't really agree with, right? And then I can take it even further of just like, okay, how is my spirituality? And how am I measuring up, right? And this is the way we usually view these kinds of things. How am I measuring up? Yes? How, if the Lord were a teacher up in heaven and he had a report card, what would the grade be? Right? Would there just be a bunch of demerits, or am I on a gold star program? Is it letters? Is it a GPA? What does it look like? And then I go even further of like, well, okay, what's Judgment Day look like? And how am I going to measure up? At the end of time where we stand face to face with the Lord and he says, well done, or see you later. Right? And we view these things as like measurable things of just like, how am I doing? What is my view even of Judgment Day? Because all of us have a different view of Judgment Day, right? My view of Judgment Day is probably completely wrong. Okay? Here's my view. Ready? Biggest stadium you can think of. Okay? Everybody's around, all my friends, all my family, a bunch of people that I've met, some majority of people I haven't met, right? And they're all standing around. And then it goes, I've got a ticket in my hand. And it's number whatever, and it's my turn to walk in. So I walk in, and I see God Almighty on his throne, right? Everybody's looking in. Fear of man issue in me, yes? You hearing it? Right? And you guys are like, oh, shoot. Yeah, I self-diagnose myself every freaking day. But I go in and it's just like, oh my gosh. And I feel like a minion standing in front of the greatest human or the greatest being ever. And a little bit of the way I grew up, I see, oh, Lex, this sucked. This was bad. This was really bad. How could you have done that to my heart? Right? That's a little, ooh, all right. Here's my cards, right? But then I'm just like, there's other sides of just like, oh, wow, I can't believe you took that risk with me and you did that and all of these different things. And then all of a sudden he hits a button that I can't see and I end up somewhere, right? Hopefully heaven. Hopefully heaven. Just like all of us hope that we inherit heaven. Yes? Yes? Yeah. I hope, or else I'm in the wrong crowd tonight, right? But hope, we inherit that place. But then there's this side of me that is just like, oh my gosh, am I good enough? Do I measure up enough? Have I proved myself enough? Right? We've all thought of this, yes? You all think of it. I think of it probably too much. Because of just, frankly, the person that I am, I think often of, am I proving myself enough? Right? I do it with my wife. I do it with Miller. I do it with my boss. I do it with all other sorts of people. Of, am I proving myself enough? And I think you guys do the same thing. Whether you're as aware of it as I might be, you are, am I measuring up? Am I really feeling like I'm a purposed person? Or am I just shuffling through life and, oh, cool, I happened into this job. Oh, cool, I happened into this relationship. Oh, cool, I did intersect with a lovely lady, right? All of these things, and I just am like, oh, cool, all of a sudden it happened. Or is that a divine purposing that I actually understand as part of my interwovenness, if that's even the right word? Are you getting me? And I feel like sometimes we wake up and don't really feel like we have a purpose. I wake up often just like, okay, I've got to do this so that I can provide for my family. And that's my purpose. Right? You guys ever feel this way? Just like, ah, oh, here's another day. Here we go. Let's shuffle through this. Let's make this happen because I want to be obedient and I want to honor the position that I have, but man, I'm not looking forward to it. Yeah? Or do you ever feel like you are just existing and or performing something for school or for work and then just going home to go to sleep, just to do it all over again? Often we think of ourselves as what we produce. And that's how we grade ourselves of, okay, what did I produce here? And that shows my worth here. Are you with me? Right? Like if I don't do a good job at work, sorry, I'm going to lose my job. And that's the way it should work, right? That's the way it does work. But have I injected that into my relationship with the King? Like, well, I think that's good, isn't it? I'm here to tell you that I don't think that's very good. That sounds like a really crappy relationship. It sounds very gaslighting and very manipulative and very one-sided. You with me? You're like, well, Lex, your faith is proven by works. And I'm like, yeah, of course, I get that. But you're just doing works for the sake of doing works. What's your faith? Yeah? You get it? I want to talk to you about the beauty of what the Lord has actually implanted in you. What he's actually injected into you. And the way majority of us think is, I want to show the Lord how much I love him based on how much I do for him. Right? All of us have, I believe, because I know you guys well enough, we have this mentality. I want to show the Lord how much I love him based on how much I do for him. Right? Hello? Is that right? All of us are quick to answer no, but why do we keep on doing it? Right? That's the definition of insanity. I know that this is wrong, but I'm going to keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on doing it. That's insane. That's what insane people do. And my goal tonight is not to tear down spiritual disciplines by any stretch, but redefine them and implement them properly in our lives. Okay? Spiritual disciplines are great, meaning fasting, praying, worship, all of these things. Right? But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of you guys approach your quiet time, you sit down and you light your favorite candle and do all of this stuff, right? You sit down with the Lord and you feel like he's grading your quiet time. In the sense of like, oh, that was a really good one. Or I feel really bad about that quiet time. Right? Or we do the same thing in like worship settings, right? Where, okay, the songs didn't really slap this morning, but I still lifted my hands, Lord. Didn't you see that? And he's grading your worship, right? Especially worship leaders can understand this. I'm just like, all right, how did I do this morning, right? how did I steward that gift this morning? But it's actually, we're turning all of our spiritual disciplines into a report card, and we're approaching the Lord like a teacher instead of a good father and a good friend. And I think we do this with a lot of different things. It's grading how your prayer was, right? Did I say enough cool words? Was I poetic enough? Did I pray long enough over that person for that healing, or did I pray too short, right? Because we did a ministry time this morning at Encounter, and I was like, dude, I was rattling through people. And I had that thought of like, am I moving too fast? But I felt like, man, I just need to pray for healing in Jesus' name and then move on. I don't know. That's how he did it. Right? That's how he did it. He said, get up and walk. Right? I'm sorry. I don't have that boldness. I'm working on it. But that's what he said. He said, get up and sin no more. He said, open your eyes. Flap those eyelids like butterflies and look. Right? It was that kind of thing that he did. And I had that thought of like, man, all right, my three to that guy's one who's standing right next to me praying very loudly, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, everybody's got their different flavor and different style. I'm not, frankly, who am I to judge? Right? Who am I to judge? He maybe had more success than I did. Whatever, right? I'm just being obedient, right? But if I thought this way, I have a picture of the Lord that's differently than that's different than who he actually is. Do you understand that he cares more about heart than content? Do you understand that? He cares more about my heart actually being moved of saying, whoa, man, like your niece has stage 4 cancer? And like, that moves me when I hear that? And that does something to me? And then I pray out of that? Not saying that anybody else isn't, but that's my goal, right? My goal is, Lord, can you move my heart enough so that I move by affection into understanding your character at a deeper level? Yeah? Are you with me? Is this making sense? Just like my picture of Judgment Day, like I have this image of God, and I think some of you guys have this image of God that is just like he's waiting for you to fail. Instead of watching you as a good father, jumping up and down on the sideline, cheering you on, saying, go get it, dude. Go get it. I'm your biggest hero. I'm your biggest fan, right? Instead of that shift, where show me, because all of us have different, I don't know, I'm not going to poke this too much, so I promise. But all of us have different views of the dad in our lives, right? All of us have different views. Some of us good. Some of us we think is good, but it's not good. Some of us that think it's bad, but it's actually good. All of these different viewpoints of a dad. And I want to say that the Lord is not your dad. He's your father. Yes? And you know this. You know it, right? Like, I want to be the best picture of the Lord to Miller as I possibly can. But I get frustrated, and I know that the Lord doesn't get as frustrated as I do. I know that. Right? Do you get it? Are you understanding me? Grading our quiet time, grading our prayers, and grading our worship. And I think if you felt this way, you struggle with a works-based paradigm over your life. Like, well, I'm not works-based. That's the Mormons. Really? Really? Is it? Or have we as Christians decided to become works-based and call it faith and just relabel something to make it look pretty and not as convicting over my life? Again, I know faith without works is dead. Yes, of course, but if he is our father, he cares more about the time and the moments together than the content. A guy named Dallas Willard said it this way: God is more concerned with who we become than what we do. God is more concerned with who we become than what we do. Do you agree? Right? Ask yourself, do you actually believe that? Or are you just always, just constantly trying to prove yourself? Prove myself and like show, Lord, I deserve this. I deserve that. I deserve to be this. I deserve to be that. Well, fill in the blank. At the end of the day, you don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. Yes? I'm just lucky that I get to be called a son. I'm just lucky that I'm in the family, right? You're just lucky that you get to be called a daughter, that you're in the family. And when did that not become enough? Are you getting me? Like, when did that stop being enough for us? Of just, I'm just happy to be a son. And Lord, if you pick me up with your heavenly tweezers and plop me, heaven forbid, in Pueblo, I'm going to be obedient to you because I'm a son beyond anything else. Right? I'm not an entitled upper middle class, whatever you want to call me, white boy who lives in Sedalia. I'm just not entitled to that anymore. What I'm entitled to is just being a son and being obedient to a father. Yes? God is more concerned with who we become than what we do. Our culture is obsessed with, what are you able to produce for me? Right? All of us feel this, right? And because I'm a man, I'll say this. Men, I know we feel this, right? Women, I don't know, because I'm not one, okay? Obviously, right? But men, I feel this on such a deep level of, what can you produce for me? What can you do for me? And then I will tell you how much you're worth, right? Yes? Think of it. We've made people millions and millions of dollars based on TikTok and Instagram clout. You know? Like, I think that's hilarious. Like, that is absolutely 100% comical to me because of what they produce. And then when I first meet people, they always ask me, what do you do? Right? What do you do? And that is what defines me to them. Right? Oh, I'm a project manager at a home improvement company. Oh, cool. So what do? You wear a hard hat? No, not at all. I've actually never worn a hard hat. Right? Or remember, you're like high school, you're a senior in high school, and you're at maybe your graduation party if you had one, or all your family friends were around you, and what was their first question to you? What's next? Yes. What are you going to do next? How are you going to prove yourself? How are you going to prove yourself to the world? Right? What are you going to do? Shove down our throats all the time, yes? So then we've incorporated that exact thing into kingdom living. And into relationship with God. Right? Now I'm hoping you're starting to see it. And you find your value to God tied up in the same things of what can I do for you, God? And yeah, I get it. Oh, I get it. I get all of the scripture that says, here I am, send me. I get all of that. But why is the Lord talking to that person in the first place? Tell me. Their character. Yes? I'm sorry, if your character sucks, you're never going to hear the voice of the Lord unless it's to blow you up and say, hey, get right, right? Do you get what I'm talking about? It's always, hey, here I am, send me, right? Zach led us in Study Wednesday, and it was just like, I've never read it through that lens. That was lovely. I absolutely loved it, right? Here I am, send me. And he runs to his dad because that's who he was trying to prove himself to, right? Samuel's story. Then the Lord says, hey, Samuel, runs to his dad again. Hey, it wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. And again, and then finally the dad says, no, you're hearing from the Lord. Go do this. Right? Are you getting me? What I believe more Christians need to understand is God is the one who actually gets his hands dirty and gets, for lack of a better term, messy for us. Not in the sense of he needs to prove himself, but in a sense of, hey, I'm worth following. Right? The Lord is the one who's the master gardener, right? The Lord is the one who picked you up out of the dirt and formed you. Yes? Hello? The Lord is the one who spit into the dirt, rubbed it on some dude's eyes, and he was made able to see. Right? The Lord is the one who shows up at the master gardener next to that tomb with the stone rolled away that Mary was like, oh, that's just a gardener. I don't know who that is. Right? and countless other stories. He's the one who's actually the one getting his hands dirty for us, right? And as Jonathan Helzer says, we have created a God that needs to, that we feel like we need to create with our hands, aka works. But that's actually what all of the people did to create idols, was make gods with their own hands. Right? You hearing me? Instead, we need to understand that we were created with God's hands, and that paradigm shift will change. Yes? That'll start changing over the way we view and interact with the Lord. I hope. God's first interaction with us was to get his hands dirty and reach down and get his hands dirty for the sake of creating us. Yeah? Do you remember this story? You guys are looking at me like you've never heard this before, right? He literally reached down, pulled dirt out of the ground, and created man from dirt. That's wild. Yeah? The Lord is the one getting messy on our behalf. And he created so that he could be with us. Period. But we've made it into this rat race. And who can say the next cool thing on Instagram on a 30-second clip, and then they're an affirmed preacher? Which, again, is hilarious. The Lord's always been the one getting messy, fashioning us together, creating us and fashioning us and winding us together, knitting us together. And then took it to the other extreme and said, I'm going to take on all of your mess, all of your sin, and I'm going to bear it. Again, not us having to prove anything. He did it willingly. Right? He didn't just have a scroll that he said, all right, these are the people I'm dying for, right? And fluck it out like a big old scroll in a cartoon, right? He didn't do that. It's like, all right, well, so-and-so is on here, but nah, there, right? It wasn't like that. He did it willingly, willing to get messy for us. He's perfect, right? Spotless lamb, kind of perfect, yes? Like beyond the perfect sacrifice to atone for all sins, not just for some of them. So then he said, all right, give me all of the sin, I'll die, I'll take it, so that they don't have to get messy anymore. Again, so that we still feel like I've got to prove myself that I was worthy of dying for. Why? Why? Is this a message just to say, no, okay, all right, no, go sit on your couch and be a lazy piece of crap? No, it's not that. It is, hey, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Are you becoming a man, a woman who just wants to prove themselves to the Lord and always living in that toxic fear that the Lord is going to strike me down with a lightning bolt if I don't do good enough? Because watch that inject into your marriage. Watch that inject into your kids. Watch you be a father, a mother who's demanding their kid to prove themselves to you. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it's going to happen. Are you getting it? What I want to invite you into is breaking that thought, breaking that curse, however Pentecostal I want to be tonight, breaking that thing over your life so that you can walk freely with the Father. Instead of, did I do that right? We're calling it anxiety and stress and all of these things when it's actually, no, you're just out of union with the Lord. You're like, well, Lex, don't talk about it. I get it. I get it. I have sympathy for you. But hey, come on. He says, be anxious about nothing. Be stressed about nothing. Look at the birds. They're taken care of. What are they doing? They're not preaching crusades. You know? When's the last time you saw a bluebird heal someone? You know? Hello? When's the last time a sparrow gave a freaking dynamic message that was just like super nutty on TikTok? When's the last time that happened? But he still provides for them, yes? Look at the lilies in the field. What do? Are you getting me? And I know I'm being silly, but like, come on. I want this reality over your guys' life so bad. Because I do believe that it'll inject into you being a future boss. You as a future father, a future mother, a future grandpa, and a future grandma. I know, you're like, what? I'm not going to be that. I'm too hot. No, well, I get it. But like, come on. Like, this is the way to do it. This is the way to fix it. This is the way to break the paradigm over your family. Do you want to be a part of that? Or do you just want, hey, little Timmy, show yourself, right? That sucks. Miller has done nothing for me. Literally nothing for me. And my love is so unconditional to him. And that is the picture of a heavenly father. And yeah, did I just, I get it. But like, he's literally done nothing for me. He has to prove nothing to me for me to be proud of him when he's two. I'm proud of him and he's two. Like, that's weird. He hasn't even hit a 300-yard drive yet, you know? Like, he hasn't sunk in a 20-footer yet, you know? Like, come on. Like, are you getting what I'm talking about? Sin is messy, and he reached down and said, all right, I've got you again. That's just beautiful. It really is just beautiful. But here we are forming things time and time again with our hands creating our own idols of what we think God is and who we believe God is and manufacturing something. And like, are we daring to worship the Lord who made us with his hands, or are we just trying to prove ourselves worthy to him every single day? Are you getting me? And I hope I'm poking something deep down in you. I really do. I really hope I am poking something and that you're questioning your existence here at Alabaster. I'm serious. I want to poke it because you'll be a better person if you break this over your life today. I think most of us determine our standing with the Lord based on what we do. And this is why we put preachers on pedestals. And here's my confession to you guys. Here's my promise to you guys. And here's my promise to my family and everybody who cares. Whether I'm preaching to 500, 5,000, or 5 million, or if it's just to my wife and my kid, I'm proven by the Lord. Why? Because I'm a son. I'm a son far before I'm anything else. I'm a son far before I'm a young adults pastor. I'm a son far ahead of any job title that I might have or any bank account that I might have. I'm a son first, period. And that's where it all stops. And if all of the other things are proven through my sonship, wonderful, right? Yes? Do you get what I mean by that? What I mean by that is what I am, yes? What I am becomes what I do. It's an overflow, not a facade. It is a heart posture, not a look at how spiritual I am, give me the platform. Hello? I'm not more of a son because I'm a pastor. Did you know that? Like, well, hold on. You're a pastor. He thinks highly of you. No, literally, he loves me just as much as the homeless guy who's never heard Jesus' name before. He does. I'm like, well, Lex, come on. I get it. I'm making him known as much as I can. But I'm a son. I'm on equals playing ground. Hello? And frankly, if this pastoral title and this pastoral life was stripped from me, I would still be seen as a son. Right? I'd still be seen as a son. A platform doesn't prove me any more than a platform will prove you. What do I mean by platform? Whether you're preaching, whether you're teaching, whether you're leading this or leading that, whether you're doing this or doing that, it doesn't prove you. Frankly, I know a lot of awful people who have very big platforms. I know a lot of really, really awful people who have huge platforms. I mean, think of it. Aaron, you know the Moses and Aaron story where Aaron's with the boy, with all of the Israelites making the golden calf? He was celebrated. And Moses' reputation was squashed while he was up on that mountain. Everybody's cheering Aaron on. Hey, this is the great idea, dude. This is awesome, right? I'm pumped that we're doing this. Everybody started donating to that cause and saying, hey, take this bracelet, take that bracelet, melt this down. Hey, make this calf good, right? He was celebrated. He had a pretty big platform. He was entrusted just for a couple days. You know, have you thought of it? What proves me is who I am and who he's intertwined me to be. Yes? Psalm 119:73 says, your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. What's that talk about proving yourself? And some of us are like, well, he said commandments. That's what we do. No, it's who you are. Commandments are actually character. They're not do's and don'ts. They're actually refining your character. But we've got a paradigm in our brain of like, oh, the commandments? There's a bunch of rules. Christianity has so many rules. No, it's actually the Lord's saying, hey, this is your character when you follow me. Are you getting me? Maybe not. Genesis 2:22-24, it says, and the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And then the man said, at last, the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one. Why did I read that? Well, because it had the word fashioned in it. And because this is the way it is. Are you getting it? This is what the Lord has orchestrated. And then 2 Corinthians 5:5, it says, no one who has fashioned us for this very purpose, now the one who has fashioned us for the very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He has fashioned us. He has made us. He has knit us together. Hello? To be what? A son and a daughter. That's it. A son and a daughter. Most of us are feeling like we need to be defined by the fivefold ministry. Oh, prophets, preacher, you know, all of those. But actually, hold on. Before you can achieve any of that, you need to learn how to be a son. You need to learn how to be a daughter of a really good father. Not one that demands and diminishes, but one that's cheering you on. The one that wants the best for you. The one that is literally your biggest fan, not out to get you. The one who looks at you with a smile on his face. Right? Just like when Miller trips, I have a smile on my face when I greet him and pick him back up. Right? That's it. It's not, we've made this Christianity thing so impossible. We've made it impossible. Where we start grading each other as Christians, and then we go to that entire sermon, right? And it's just brutal. We've made it so hard to be a Christian anymore. Instead of, how do I just be a son again? How do I just be a daughter? How do I just be loved by a father who really, really loves me? And how do I love him back? And how do I have him refine my character instead of, Lord, I need this. I need this platform or else my whole life is in vain. I need to see this healing or else I don't even know your existence. How many times have I heard this? We made the Lord more of a genie and more of an angry, angry genie than he is a father. He's a father. Are you getting me? And I get it. We focus so much on what's in front of us, and we've got one lens, and it's this way, and it's this height, you know. Some of us are shorter, some of us are taller. I get it. We all have this lens that we look out of, and here we are, right? Lex, you're asking me to zoom out too far. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm asking you to dig deep. Right? Because as I was preparing this message, this is the picture that I saw. You're a tree, and you're trying to force fruit out of you. And then all of a sudden, you forced an apple out of you. And all of a sudden, the tree just toppled down. Toppled down. Such a bummer. You've worked so hard to produce that one fruit, the one fruit that you've been searching for, the one fruit that thought that would work, and then voila, you're falling flat on your face because you got no depth. You have no roots. You have nothing to you. And I think a lot of us are just, all right, how do I just be a pretty tree? How do I just be a pretty tree so that people can see how red my apples are and how whatever, right? But what I need you to understand is if you don't have depth, you've got no business producing fruit. Because that fruit, nobody will want to eat. Not even you. Are you hearing me? I want this to hit you. I really do. Like I said, I want to irritate something in you. I want to challenge something in you. I want you to think, Lex, are you telling me the truth? And I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. He is a father that is absolutely obsessed with you as a son, with you as a daughter. Instead, we're so afraid to dig deep, to root down and say, I want character more than production. I want kingdom more than anything else. And the only way to achieve that is by him refining your identity in sonship and daughtership. Hello? So that's my poke. That's my invitation for you. As future husbands, as future wives, as future parents, as future grandparents, as future bosses, I understand the group that I'm talking to. That's my cry to you, is break something over your generation and over our generation and over the rest of what American culture has to say about you as a Christian. Break something. Please. Me and Madison are working really hard to do that over our family. And is it easy? No, it's not easy. Does it come with tension? Does it come with tears? Does it come with raw emotion and just being like, what the heck is happening to us? Of course it does. But it's worth it. It's worth it with Miller growing up to know that he's a son of the Most High. And that he doesn't have to do anything beyond that. He doesn't have to prove himself just because he's a pastor's kid. Right? And he doesn't have to feel that burden of the fishbowl life. He can just be a son. Right? I hope you're hearing me tonight. I really do. I really, really, really do. But let me pray for you. And I'll ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you one-on-one instead of me talking any further. Okay? So if you would, if you want this reality over your life, if you want this reality over your future family, your future job, your future whatever, would you just have a posture of receiving? Just hold your hands out like this if you want to break generational curses tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask you to minister to every single willing heart in this room. Beyond any words I could say or any prayer that I could say, that Holy Spirit, you would collide tonight. And we will wait. Holy Spirit, you are the wonderful counselor. And Lord, I pray that you would lead us and that this conversation with you wouldn't stop tonight, but that you would set up time that we could be alone with you so that you could minister to the depths of us, that you could rewrite stories tonight, that we would meditate on your goodness, on your word, meditate on how messy you got so that you could have us. Father, I pray that you would rewrite the story of fatherhood over lives tonight. would protect from resentment. Bitterness. That you would just rewrite the story of who you are as a father. And that the people in this room and the people who hear this, that they would be people who break generational curses and break paradigms. And that their children and their children's children would know you at a deeper level than any of us could today. You would rewrite the story, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, that you do call us sons, that you do call us daughters, and that we're welcome into your family beyond what we do, but just because of who we are. Would you refine us? Would you minister to us? Would you encounter us? In Jesus' name, amen.